Praise God. We have a really incredible night in store for you, and just really excited. But before we get everything going, can I get the ushers ready? We're going to take up an offering, and I'm going to explain what it's for in a moment. But Pastor Che is here from Pasadena and California, and he came, he paid his own way, and so he's come just to visit and bless us. And I asked Che, he says, hey, can we do anything for you? And all he said was, can you just take up an offering for HIM? And HIM is Harvest International Ministries, and they're an apostolic network of, actually, we had lunch today, and I think they lost count. After 30,000, they kind of lost count. But they are operating in 60 nations, and I think that's the metric that they're using now. And God's really blessed them, and they have works all over the world. And so we just want to take an offering today, and also in each of our services tomorrow that Pastor Che will be speaking at, just to bless the work of HIM. And so all the funds will be going there. If you are writing a check, just make it out to Solomon's Porch Limited, and then we will just gather all together and just cut one check for HIM and for their work there. Okay, so let me just pray for the offering and ask God's blessing. And so, Father, we thank you, God, for the work of Harvest International Ministries and the way that you're impacting nations, God, and churches are being planted, Lord. Young kids are being fed. And we just thank you for the work that they're doing, God. And thank you for Che as a leader, God, and just his leadership and his anointing to see the work of the kingdom, God, be established in these 60 nations and so much more, God. And so we ask you to bless the offering. Lord, bless the givers, God, that you would just incredibly supply all of their needs according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And we just thank you. We ask you to multiply the funds and give wisdom to the leaders at HIM, that they would use it to impact the kingdom of God in this world for you, Father. And so we thank you for the opportunity that you give us to sow and to steward, God, and to give. And so we bless you and we thank you, God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 I guess as the offering is being passed around, just a couple quick announcements. If you're new to Solomon's Porch, we have services tomorrow, and Pastor Che will be sharing a great message. We talked about it last night and today, and I'm just really excited to hear. Our service times are 9 o'clock, 11:30, and 3 o'clock. And so make sure you get some rest tonight, Che, okay? You're gonna work tomorrow. And so 9, 11:30, and 3. And at the 9 o'clock and the 11:30 service, we have Sunday school for your kids. And so you're more than free to bring your kids during that time as well. Okay? Last year when Pastor Che was here and we did the same thing, we had a healing service before he went off into his next ministry assignment. We had just an incredible time, and one of our guests that had come to visit, I didn't even know she was coming, but Lois, just wave your hand, she'll be up here in a moment. And if you remember some of you guys that were here last year, she came in and she was in a wheelchair. She'll share more of her story, so I don't have to go into too much detail, but a month before that, the doctor had given her 4 months to live. And so she came, and just God just did an amazing work over her during that service, and then continually since then as well. And so I asked Lois, I asked her a couple months ago, and so it's not so last minute, but, you know, it was a couple months ago, but then I asked her this afternoon if she would share. And so it's very raw, that's the best. We like it the rawest, right? Amen? And so she's going to share her testimony and just kind of her journey of faith and of battling cancer, and it's just a wonderful story of a wonderful woman. And so let's welcome up Lois right now.
Hello, good evening. Actually, I had forgotten that Pastor Sam asked me to share a few months ago. It kind of like zipped my mind. And so he asked me this afternoon. And so it is raw. I just pray that the Holy Spirit would just lead us and use me to share with you. My testimony is really long, so I'm just going to cut the history part and just come to the recent part where I actually last fall, where the doctors diagnosed me with stage 4 cancer, And it was actually a relapse because in 2013, I was also diagnosed with stage four. At the time, they didn't know how long I would have, but they didn't say 4 months. And so I went through a treatment for a couple of months, and then I got better. But then in 2014, that was in 2013. But in 2014, middle of 2014, probably July, I had a relapse. And my body started getting really swollen, and I was just really, really sick. And then finally, the doctor says, you got to go to the hospital. And so I went to the hospital, and they told me that, you know, they did a PET scan on me, and the cancer had spread all over my body, through my bones and everything. By that time, I actually couldn't walk. All I could do was lie down in a bed. I needed 24-hour assisting. Even at night, I had to have a nurse who have to look after me. And so, in 2014, in July, I felt really blessed. I was already a Christian, and I really felt that God was with me. But having said that, you still face the diagnosis of the doctors, and they're saying, well, you know, they told my family, they didn't even tell me, actually. They told my family I only had 4 months. And everybody started coming to visit me and crying and everything, and I'm saying, oh, it's not so bad, you know, and then it's okay. And, you know, I had a lot of my friends, they're just like coming and trying to see me like as if it's the last time. And so I finally felt like, okay, somebody's not telling me something. And so then I actually found out 2 months later, the doctor said, you know, I only have a few more months. And so so that was kind of that shaking and the fear and the doubt. I've always had faith that God would heal me, but I was asking God, you know, I was doing so well last year, and then suddenly, you know, I just fell down again and relapsed, and what's going on? And in 2014, actually, my pain was a lot worse. It got really very intense, but I still had refused to take pain medication. So I was like always in pain. So I really believed that God was going to heal me, and I didn't want to take all that more. They're like synthetic morphine that they give you, and your head is cloudy. You're always like not knowing what to do. I don't know if you might have family members who might have been at that stage where, you know, cancer spread in your bones, and they try to take the pain away, but the person, the patient, is really like cloudy, don't know what they're doing, and I just decided I need to have a clear head. I want to have a renewal of my mind through Christ Jesus. And so I refused the painkillers, but they were really painful. So last year in August when I, actually Pastor Ricky, I just want to thank him also because he came to my house. He prayed for me and it was really, really encouraging. He actually is very anointed in the prayer, in praying for the sick, because he actually I never met him. When he came to my house, he met me for the first time, and the Lord revealed to him the problem where the cancer started that was down in my spine. And so, and I was like totally like, whoa, you know, God has, you know, really anointed Pastor Ricky as he prayed for me, and I was really encouraged. So I just really want to thank him for coming over, because he didn't know me, but he just came and it really helped me. And then later on, that's how I found out about Pastor Cheon's healing service last year. And so I came. I was in a lot of pain. I was in the wheelchair. I couldn't move very much, and my son was with me, my daughter, spiritual daughter, was with me, and a few friends. And so we came, and I just really want to thank again that I wanted to come up to the front, but I was too embarrassed because, like, we had this whole group of people with us. I was in the wheelchair, but someone really very nicely just arranged for us to sit in the middle, and it was, like, very crowded, so some of them were sitting on the floor. But I just wanted to come. I just wanted to experience the Lord. And even when we walked in and in the service, there was this anointing of the presence of God. It was here. And I really felt it. And so when Pastor Chase started preaching, my daughter, she was going, Mom, get up, the Spirit, Holy Spirit's here. I said, no. I said, Pastor Che, he's giving a message. I can't just stand up, you know, and disrupt the whole message. But Pastor Che, I think he said, you know, we don't know what the Holy Spirit is doing here. We'll just let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do. But I was just still too embarrassed. And I didn't want to. And I was really in pain, actually. And then he actually went on to give an altar call. And by then, my daughter's going, get up, Mom, get up. And I said, but he's giving an altar call. I already believe. She said, it doesn't matter, just get up. And so I didn't really know whether I could have gotten up or not because I was like in so much pain, so I just got up. And when I got up, there was like this strength inside. There was this strength that was just held me up. And I said, oh, God, you were here. And then I started, like, walking. And I started, I think I stood there for quite a while. And I just stood there just receiving the Spirit of the Lord and just receiving that. And later on, I actually walked to the bathroom and walked back. And it was, like, it was just amazing because I hadn't walked in over 4 or 5 months at that time. And it was like, wow. And so I just, like, felt very encouraged. And so after the service, we're like singing. We're singing our way back to the car. They're like wheeling me in the wheelchair. I kind of wanted to get up, but I actually saw myself dancing. And I said, okay, this is dancing in the spirit. But not. And little did I know that that was the vision the Lord gave to me, that I would be dancing. And today I'm dancing. Today I'm worshiping and I'm raising and praising the Lord. So it's really been really amazing. Praise God. God is so good. He's so good. But I wanted to also share with you this journey. So it was great. I went home feeling great for a week. But, you know, the cancer still, the doctor, you know, diagnosed the cancer is still there. And the cancer was still working against me. And so earlier this year, 2015, actually the cancer got worse. And actually it went into my brain. And so the doctor said, you know, this is a wig. I had radiation on my head. And the doctors were saying that the cancer has gone to your brain and it's gone into your nervous system. And half my face was frozen. And I had it was like I had a stroke. I could not drink. I was drinking and it would dribble. I could not eat. I can only eat on one side of my face. And I asked the doctor, what should I do? The doctor says, get used to it. And I came home. I said, I'm not going to get used to it. I cannot get used to this, Lord. I'm not getting used to this. And then so I just started praying. And the Lord actually has been really good, sending a lot of people to pray for me, a lot of prayer angels, a lot of people who was really supporting me and praying for me. And so I have to see a doctor every 3 weeks to go for my checkup and to, you know, do my blood tests and everything. And so 3 weeks later, I went to the doctor's office, and my face was completely healed. It was just amazing. And what happened was just, you know, I just refused. I refused to, you know, let this thing just get a grip of me and take over my life. Now, the faith part was really hard because, you know, we have faith. We come to the service and we feel really great and hallelujah. We go home and we're still facing the situation. And there were so many times where I thought I would get better and it didn't. And so I had to just focus on what the scriptures tell me. I had to focus to say, this is the word of the Lord. By his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, he took his curses for me, and I no longer need to have these curses in my body. And the Lord has really taught me to just focus. And there are days where I'm like, God, where is my healing? You know, when I'm in pain, God, you know, what's happened? And I might not feel healed. I may not feel like I'm even getting better. I might be, you know, in pain and crying. You know, I cry sometimes because of the pain. And but the Lord just talked to me and steered me and say, trust in my word. Do you believe in my word or do you want to believe in the enemy? The enemy is saying, yes, you're going to die. Yes, you have cancer. But the Lord did not say that. The Lord says, I am healed. And so I just had to just make a decision It's like love. Sometimes, you know, you might love someone a lot, and then some days you don't feel like loving that person, but it's a decision that you have to make. And the Lord has, in His gracious, loving way, has been teaching me how to hang on to that faith, how to just say, no matter what I feel, even I'm lying down and I'm like feeling really bad, I decided that He has healed me by His stripes. I have decided that I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm not going to believe in the lies of the enemy, because the enemy will come and give me fear and give me doubt and tell me that you're not going to make it. But if I decide and if I allow the joy of the Lord, and this is another thing that's really helped me in my journey, is to be filled with the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, comes in, and it not only gives you strength, it chases out the doubts. It chases out the fear. It chases out that, you know, oh my gosh, what's going to happen tomorrow? Because with God's presence is here, darkness has to flee. Darkness has to go. And so it's just amazing. Lord, the joy is amazing. That's why I really encourage, like, the worship. Like, you know, being in bed for so long, the worship, I miss the worship. But I really encourage, you know, everyone to just be in the worship, to be in the joy of the Lord, to just soak into the Lord, because He's going to be the answer. He's going to provide the answer. And the other thing is just don't let the way you feel, don't let what other people say to you influence you. And the Lord has actually changed my words, because even in the way I pray, I used to pray, oh Lord, would you take this pain away? Oh Lord, I'm in such pain. Oh Lord, you know, when are you going to heal me? And I decided that that is not, or I've learned through the scripture that that is not from the Lord, and that those words are not of God. The Lord says, I'm with you. The Lord says, I have healed you. The Lord says, you know, gives me these promises. And, but, you know, in Mark, it says that, you know, if we pray and we believe, it will be done for us. But it says, whatsoever we say. And I found out that I was, when I pray for my pain and says, oh, Lord, take away the pain, I'm actually praying against my healing. Because if I believe that the Lord has healed me, I have to tell the pain to leave this body. I have to tell my pain, pain, you are not going to live here. This is the body of the Holy Spirit. This pain does not belong to me. You just leave. And so I started like not affirming my pain. I just started not speaking to say, yes, I'm in pain, even though I might be in pain. But I just decided I'm going to speak what God sees. And God sees me healed. God sees me pain-free, and God sees me cancer-free. And so I just choose to believe in that. It's hard, but, you know, I do believe that the more we speak in faith, and I thank you, Pastor Cheon, for just teaching us about the faith, because the more we speak with faith, the more we hear it in our ears, in our body, the more our body hears faith, the faith goes in. And faith is the substance of hope. And so the faith is just like so important. And so I just encourage everyone, like if you're depressed or if fear is coming or if you have pain in your body, it's great to pray, but go and listen to sermons. Like Pastor said, go and listen to sermons of faith, because when you hear those words of faith and just keep, and I would listen to messages over and over again. Just repeatedly over on healing, on faith, and then it soaks in. And so I just really thank you for listening to me. I thank you for just giving me your time. And I just pray that tonight, you're going to experience more faith. Thank you. Praise God.
Ken, is this on? Okay. Thank you, Lois. Very inspiring. Incredibly inspiring. But you mentioned outside that, can you share that tumor story?
Oh, yes.
I thought it was amazing. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, I forgot. There's so many miracles. But one day I had a lump on my right-hand side. It was a very big lump. And I actually could not move my head like this at all. And those who had known me from before, when you talk to me, I would have to do this. like this. And it was just so irritating, and it was so painful. And so one day I was praying with my friend and on the phone, and I'm always touching that tumor because it's just so painful. So I told the Lord, "Lord, could you heal this tumor, please? Could you heal?" And as we were praying, I was telling the Lord, "Lord, I'm not going to remove my hand from this tumor until you cure it, until you heal it." And in 20 minutes, the tumor just disappeared, and it's never been back. It's never been back since. So hallelujah.
Amen. You gotta love the tenacity, huh? Amen. Why don't we stretch out our hands? Che, can you come and we'll get it rolling? Let's just continue to pray for Lois's journey and her family, and let's pray for God's mercy.
Che, why don't you? Thank you. Yeah, what an amazing testimony. You know, Jesus is the healer, but in most of the healings I see, it's not my faith, really. I shared, when I was here last time, I prayed for a woman who was born blind. And when she asked for prayer, I just said, "Wow, gee, I have no faith for this," but she was in faith. And even though she was born blind in one eye and she could see in the other eye, she received a total healing. I just saw her recently. She said, "I'm still seeing perfectly." It's just amazing. But it was her faith, and it was your faith, Lois. And so, Father, we just thank you. We just bless what you're blessing. Thank you for this amazing example for all of us to be inspired to be people of faith, because faith pleases you. Without faith, it's impossible to please you. And we thank you that your word says the just shall live by faith. And thank you, Lord, that Lois is living testimony. And so we just want to encourage her. We bless her. And we just continue to declare that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, Lois was healed in Yeshua HaMashiach's name. Amen and amen. Let's thank the Lord for that.
God bless you.
Wow, what a testimony. I feel that, you know, we could just say goodnight and go home. And we've been blessed. So what a privilege to be back here. And just a lot has happened since I was here last year. First of all, I just want to thank God that I have two more grandchildren. And they all happened in the month of July, so just a little over a month ago. And my daughter, Joy, gave birth on July 11th to Caleb Judah. And then my daughter, Grace, gave birth to her second child, Levi, on July the 24th. So I have Jewish grandkids right now. Caleb, Judah, and Levi. And so, anyway, it's just so much fun, and God's been so good. I feel that we're in a new season. You know, the Bible says the steps of a righteous person is ordered by the Lord, and that's in Psalm 37, 23. And when you're honoring God, if you're walking with him, he will order your steps. And there was two prophetic things that happened this year that I felt was just... it was too much of a coincidence. It couldn't be a coincidence. It was really God ordaining circumstances. One happened with me, and the other thing happened with my spiritual son, Jeremy Nelson. Let me tell you what happened with me. It was 42 years ago that I gave my life to Jesus Christ in Baltimore, Maryland. And it's a long story, but I gave my life to the Lord at a Deep Purple concert. Now, how many of you heard of Deep Purple? Some of you have never heard of Deep Purple, but back in 1973, they were the number one rock group. And they had the number one song called Smoke on the Water. And so they sold out every arena within minutes. And we're talking about the Baltimore Civic Center holds 15,000. And the tickets went really fast. And I didn't buy the tickets, but my best friend went to the place, waited in line, and got tickets for me. And anyway, so we had the best seat in the house. And during the intermission, I had an encounter with the Lord. And in my book, Spirit-Led Evangelism, I give the details of that testimony. But I heard the Lord speak to me, throw away the drugs, leave this concert, and follow me. And it was the first time I really even heard the voice of God, but it was that inner, still, small voice of the Holy Spirit. And it was supernatural, because when I walked out of the Civic Center, I was instantly delivered from drugs. And I say this to the glory of God. That was the last time I did drugs. And so it was during the Jesus People movement, there was a tremendous revival where we saw a lot of young people who were drug addicts, heroin addicts, get delivered instantly, you know. And I believe in, you know, just going through the process of you know, like the 12-step program or going through deliverance and inner healing, and sometimes it is progressive deliverance, but I like the one-step program as well. And for me, it was a one-step program, and I got instantly delivered. And so, anyway, so that was in Baltimore on May 29th, 1973. And so this year, it's interesting that 4 years ago, my grandson, my first grandchild, his name is Justice, was born on my spiritual birthday. He was born on May 29th in the fiscal. And so what I try to do, I try not to travel during my children's birthday or my grandchildren's birthday time because I know we're going to celebrate as a family. I like to be around for that. That's just one of my family values. And so I'm on the road almost every single week. I know it sounds crazy, but last week I was in Nashville, Tennessee. I was speaking at the Voice of Apostles Conference. I'm here this week. And then next week, I'm in Taiwan, and the beat goes on. And so after that, I'm in Aruba. And it sounds like fun places, but I'm actually speaking. And then my schedule is just full. But I didn't have anything planned for the week of May 29th because it was my grandson's birthday. So what happened was is that I got a phone call from a dear friend of mine, and he asked me, he said, you know, our main speaker that we invited to our conference canceled on us, and can you come, and can you come on May 29th? And I explained to them, I said, no, because that's my grandson's birthday, and I intentionally kept that date open so I could celebrate. And he said, well, this is a huge conference, and Jack Hayford was supposed to be our guest speaker, and he canceled at the last moment, and we really felt in prayer you're to come. And I just explained, I'm sorry, I just can't, and so I thought it was over. But this guy was so persistent. He's a major apostle. He leads a network of churches primarily in the United States, but they're in different parts of the world. But he contacted me again by email and just appealed to me. So could you just ask your daughter to be released from any kind of birthday party? I mean, really, really persistent. I said, this is strange. But I just said, you know what? I should find out what the plans are. And so I called my daughter, Grace. I said, how are we celebrating Justice's birthday? And she explained, well, you know, Dad, on his actual birthday, May 29th, we wanted to celebrate just with our family, but I reserved a park on Monday for everyone, the siblings, to come over and for you and Mom to come over, and we're going to have a birthday party at Lacey Park in the Pasadena area. I said, really? I said, you know, I got this invitation, and this guy's been really persistent. He's a friend of mine going way back when I lived in Maryland. And he's invited me to speak at his conference, and it's on the same day as Justice's birthday. And she said, Dad, be totally released. Again, we're not going to do anything with the family on his birthday, but we'll celebrate it on the 31st of May. And I said, okay. So I called. I called Dan Juster, the guy who invited me, and they were just so shocked. They said, thank you so much, and can you come? And I said, absolutely. So I made my last-minute arrangement to go to the conference. And here's the point I'm trying to make. The conference happened to be in Baltimore, the same city that I got saved, 20 minutes from the place where I walked out of the Civic Center on the exact same day, on May 29th, and I felt like, what are the odds with me traveling all over the place for me to come back to the same city that I was born again in? The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and I felt like the Lord said, you've come a full season. And just like you got saved during the Jesus People movement, that there's going to be another Jesus People movement, another move of the Holy Spirit is going to be greater, and that you've come to a full season, get ready for the next season. So it was a personal encouragement. But then my spiritual son, Jeremy Nelson, who is an amazing young evangelist, and he goes to our church. He's based out of our church, but he's on the road traveling around the world. And just last week, he spoke at our church. And we were having our annual HIM leadership conference. And he shared this testimony. I could not believe it. He said 7 years ago, he had bought a beautiful sapphire ring, a black sapphire ring. And it was pretty expensive. It was around $1,000. But after wearing it for a while, the Lord spoke to him to give to a pastor friend. So he took the ring and just sewed it into his friend's life. And because evidently, you know, he found another ring, he got that, so he had two rings and felt like, you know, I should give one of the rings away. So he didn't see, I mean, he just totally forgot about it, but what happened was is that he was in England, speaking in England at a good friend's church, and I've spoken there as well. The pastor's name is Trevor Baker, and he's in northern part of England. And when he is invited to speak, Trevor says, God spoke to me a few months ago when I invited you that I need to give you something that a pastor gave to me. And he said, I want you to have this ring. And it was the exact same ring that had gone around the world from pastor to pastor to pastor and came back to him in England 7 years later. Now, seven is a number of perfection. And God began to prophetically speak to him that he's come full circle. What are the odds of receiving the same ring that you gave to a pastor 7 years before, and then you receive it? And so it's not, you know, coincidence. It's a God incident. And God began to speak to him that it is a new season, and a new season began to. And so we were comparing notes and said, yeah, this is a brand new season. So I want to encourage you that no matter what you're going through, some of you have been in a bad season, and we all go through that. But Psalm 30 says, weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. And I love that word about joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? How many of you could use more joy? Okay. Now, some of you walked in here looking like you were wearing tight underwear. You didn't look too happy. And, you know, we just got to rejoice in the Lord always. And I want you to go with me. I want you to go with me to, oh, sorry, I didn't see this. Thank you for bringing this table. go with me to James chapter 5, because I want to just speak a little bit about some of the principles of healing in this passage here, and then we're going to pray for the sick. Because in James, he begins in verse 13 to differentiate between trials, tribulations, sufferings versus sickness. And you can't lump them all in one category, because a lot of times God will allow you to go through hard times, but God does not give you sickness. And I want to make that more clear as we look at this passage. So look with me in James chapter 5, verse 13. It says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. So if you're going through suffering, if you're going through hard times, just keep on praying. Continue to rejoice in the Lord. Continue to move in thanksgiving, which is a form of prayer. Continue to worship God, which is a form of prayer. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. But in verse 14 says, is anyone among you sick? Here we see how he differentiates trials, tribulations, suffering from sickness. Because it is not God's will that you be sick, because if you are sick, here are the steps you're to take. So the instruction is, let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we see there's a lot in this passage, but I want to just talk about principles of healing from this passage. The first principle I want to talk about is the principle of his presence. The principle of his presence and how his presence brings about healing. Lois was saying that the moment she walked into Solomon's porch, she felt the presence of God even before the service began. See, the presence of God is everything. Moses said in Exodus 33, unless your presence goes with us, we can go absolutely no further. And God says, listen, you know, because of the sins of the people of Israel, listen, I'm going to give you the promised land, but I'm not going to go with you. And Moses turns around and says, if you don't go with us, I mean, what's going to distinguish us from all the other people? But your presence. We need your presence. For me, the presence of God is everything. And I say it this way. The presence of God is not just the icing on the cake. It is the cake. It's the thing that we're after. It's the main deal. Because the presence of God, when you have his presence, you have everything. Because his kingdom is manifested in his presence, and in his kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so the presence of God I've seen when we host the Holy Spirit, when we honor the Holy Spirit, people start getting healed before we even pray for the sick. And one of the things that we try to do is develop a culture of just honoring the Holy Spirit, and that the presence of God is with us all the time, so that the supernatural becomes natural. It's not like we have to, you know, cause a separation of prayer time versus just living out the walk with Jesus Christ. It's all the same. And And so, for example, some of the greatest healings I've seen have happened just sovereignly by God as we're hosting His presence. I remember there was a girl named Jenny, and I've known her ever since she was a little girl because she was adopted, and she was severely deaf, not totally deaf, severely, and she had to have these hearing aids on both ears. And one day, on a Sunday morning, as we were worshiping, her hearing aid exploded. She thought it was malfunctioning. So she immediately took her hearing aids off. And then she realized the reason why it was so loud is because she was instantly healed. God just sovereignly healed her. Now, we didn't pray for her. We didn't lay hands. There was no word of knowledge about someone being deaf. It was just the Holy Spirit. So when the presence of God is there, God begins to move. And so we need to learn how to honor His presence. Now, where is that in the text? He says, if you're sick, let them anoint that person with oil in the name of the Lord. Oil represents the presence of God. Some people have taken this literally to think that oil is medicinal and that, you know, when you're putting olive oil, which is the primary oil in Israel, that you're applying medicine, and so we're to give medicine to those who are sick. And I believe in medicine. I believe in doctors. I believe that we need to fight sickness with everything we have. But listen, oil is not going to heal you if you have a broken arm. You know, and so this is not just some kind of cure-all for anything. In the Old Testament, when the priest anointed himself with oil, he was invoking the presence of God before he went into the Holy of Holies. So in the same way, when you anoint a person with oil, it was invoking the presence of God. You were saying, Holy Spirit, come. And that's how people get healed. And so when I pray for the sick, one of the things I do is I just say, welcome the Holy Spirit. And if I pray for someone individually, the first thing I was just saying is, Holy Spirit, come. Put my hand over that person, invite the Holy Spirit, because when the Holy Spirit comes, that's when everything is released. Faith is released. People are delivered from demons, you know, in the presence of God, because you can't have both. You know, Satan's allergic to the presence of God. And so it begins by invoking His presence. I know in my life I got healed. One of the greatest healings I ever received is that I had hay fever all my life. It was a generational thing. My parents had it. My dad had it. My sister, my siblings still have it. They didn't get healed. They haven't been healed since. But I got healed. And how I got healed is that the first time I walked into a charismatic service like this. It was 1974, so I was saved in 1973, but I got involved with a Presbyterian church that was evangelical, and the pastor was not just evangelical, but he was anti-charismatic. He was a graduate from Dallas Theological Seminary, and he preached against the gifts of the Spirit and preached against speaking in tongues, so I was in that kind of environment. But a friend of mine told me about all these hippies who are gathering together, former hippies, and they're meeting at a high school, Blair High School in Silver Spring, Maryland, and to check it out. So I said, I'll go. And I happened to be during the peak of my hay fever season. It was April 1974, and the cherry blossoms in Washington, D.C. area were blooming, and I was on medication. It was really asthmatic. It wasn't just sinus. I couldn't breathe. And it was just a real bad case. So I walked in under those conditions into this service, and for the first time, I'm seeing people raise their hands in worship. Never saw that before. Because I grew up Southern Baptist. My dad was a Southern Baptist pastor, and I didn't go to church. The few times I went, but it was very traditional. And then when I got born again, I was involved in more of an evangelical Presbyterian church. So when I started to see people raising their hands, I said, okay. And so I did what they did. I just raised. The moment I raised my hands, the power of God hit me, and I was instantly healed. My sinus cleared up. My lungs cleared up. It was so dramatic, I shouted. And there's around 150 people at the Bible study. It grew, by the way, to over 2,000 in the next 2 years. But at that point, it was 150. And I shouted at the top of my voice, praise God, I'm healed. And the worship leader stopped leading worship. He said, hey, that's what happens when, you know, we worship the Lord. People get healed. So, brother, why don't you share what just happened to you? And I just said, I've had hay fever all my life, as far as I can remember. And this is the peak of it. My time is April, May, and I couldn't breathe. And as we were worshiping, I got healed. And folks, I've been healed ever since. It's just absolutely amazing. Can we thank Jesus for it? And so no one prayed for me. No one laid hands on me. No one gave a word of knowledge. It was just the presence of God. And that's why we need to be people of His presence. That's why I so appreciate those sharing that, listen, turn on some worship music, you know? you know, open up your computer or get your iPhone, whatever, and download some good worship music and just worship the Lord and just constantly. And that's what I did when I got up this morning. I just turned on the worship music and just were soaking in the presence of God and using that time for my devotion as well. And so the first principle I want to talk about is presence. The second principle is a principle of faith. The prayer offered in faith will heal the one who's sick, it says in James 5, verse 15. And Lois was just talking about faith, and this is absolutely important because, again, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But when we see people getting healed in the New Testament, Jesus constantly commended them for their faith. Blind Bartimaeus, your faith has made you well. And the woman with the issue of blood, she said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be healed. And so she goes into a crowd, touches him, and Jesus said, who touched me? And the disciples are laughing, say, hello, everyone's touching you. There's a crowd. How many know you could touch him but not touch him in faith? She touched him in faith. She went into the crowd and she just said, I don't even have to talk to him. He doesn't even have to lay hands on him, on me. If I just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'm going to be healed. I mean, that's extraordinary faith. And so she goes in the crowd and goes and just touches the hem of his garment. And the Bible says power, dunamis, departed from his body. We're talking about real tangible power. And I could relate to that because there are a lot of times when I pray for the sick, afterwards I'm spiritually exhausted. And I have to get filled up and I have to, you know, just have some time with the Lord just to just build my spirit man up afresh. And so what did Jesus say? He said, who touched me? And finally she said, it was me. Why did she even hesitate? Well, because she violated Mosaic law. When you had an issue of blood, like leprosy, you were quarantined. You were not allowed to be with people. And if you did, you have to warn people about your problems. And so if you're a leper, you had to say unclean. And you see the truth and the beauty of Scripture because, I mean, no one really understood infectious disease back in that period. We're talking about thousands of years, 2,000 years ago. But God knew. And so he said, if you have leprosy, you have to be quarantined. You have to be separated. And you see the brilliance of God. You see the wisdom of God in Scripture as Moses gave this instruction thousands of years, even before Christ was born. And so she had the same thing, and in the Old Testament says you have the issue of blood, you have to separate yourself. Even after, if you have a menstrual, ladies, if you have your period, you couldn't be in public for that period for a number of days after you have your menses. And so you see this instruction, and yet she went into the crowd. And I'm sure she covered herself like most women do in the ancient world with a prayer veil when you go publicly, so they didn't really recognize her, but she took a huge risk. And the wisdom and the mercy of God, you see how Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you well. But he had two purposes in saying that. Number one, he said it to make a pronouncement that she's healed. But the second pronouncement was to say, as a rabbi, say, I want you to accept her back into the community of faith. She's now healed. Don't reject her. Don't isolate her. Don't quarantine her, but accept her back in, which shows me how God cares about us in a detailed way. So anyway, she is healed, and he says, your faith, not my faith, but your faith has made you well. So faith is absolutely essential when it comes to healing. And the faith, I mean, it was just, I've just seen so many healings. For example, I was just telling Pastor Sam that, you know, we've seen two people get healed of multiple sclerosis, which is an incurable disease. One of them is one of our pastor's spouse. And I'll never forget, I mean, she couldn't even walk. If you know anything about MS, is your nervous system breaks down, the white cells attack your nervous system, you go into a wheelchair, and then eventually you're bedridden, and then you die in bed. She was in these stages where she was just walking with a walker. She was not confined to a wheelchair, and she was in one of our services, and we were having a healing service, and the presence of God was there, and all of a sudden, she heard the Lord speak to her, take off your shoes and run. Now, she couldn't even walk, let alone run, but she stepped down in faith. She put the walker to the side of the building, and she just took a step, and the moment she took her step, she just felt strength come to her body, and I remember that night because I saw her running around our building, I mean, which is unusual, you know, to see anyone run, let alone Brenda run. because she had MS. And we're all amazed. And we just stopped her and said, what happened, Brenda? And she said, I just got healed. God just spoke to me to take off my shoes and run. And I stepped out in faith. And I got instantly healed. And she's been healed ever since. And so so was her faith. She obeyed. See, faith is spelled R-I-S-K. Risk. Peter, when he saw Jesus walk on the water, he said, Lord, if that's you, call me out and let me walk on the water too. And so Jesus said, come. And so he gets out of the boat and he begins to walk on the water. Amazing. Then all of a sudden, he begins to look at the circumstances. He begins to look at, listen, I'm a professional fisherman. You can't walk on the water. I've been on the boat in the Sea of Galilee all my life. And he looked at the wind. He looked at the waves. He looked at his past experience, and all of a sudden, what happened? He started to sink. He got his eyes off of Jesus, looked at the circumstances. He started to sink. And that's the way, there's a principle there that we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Don't look at the circumstances. If you look at the problem, the sickness, and you just focus on that, then you're just going to look at, and your sense knowledge is going to kick in instead of looking at the Word of God and looking at His character and His promises. And so here's the main verse I want to give you. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, two things I want to highlight in that passage. Faith comes by hearing. That word hearing in the Greek is in the continual present tense. So the way it reads is that faith comes by hearing over and over and over again. You got to constantly hear. And Lois was talking about that, how she would listen to messages on faith just to continue, because faith is not going to come just to one time. In fact, if I was fighting for cancer, I would get messages on healing and just listen to them constantly to build up my faith. So it's continuous present tense. The second thing I want to highlight, though, is that Greek word for the word is rhema. There are two Greek words for the word. One is logos, the written word. Then the other word is rhema. So, for example, in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and then verse 12, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That is the Greek word logos. This is a different Greek word in Romans 10:17. It's a Greek word rhema. What is rhema? Rhema is a revelatory word. It's a word that you have an encounter with. And when that word comes upon you and something all of a sudden hits you, faith is released, and it's like a grace. It's like a supernatural encounter. This is really, really important because you're looking for this kind of encounter. And so, for example, that's why I give words of knowledge when I pray for the sick. Because some people will say, that's me. He wouldn't have known that if, let me give you an example. I was in Canada in a city called Kelowna. And I was at my good friend Wesley and Stacy's Campbell's conference. And they have this annual conference, and I gave a word of knowledge that there's someone here who's been healed just now from a very severe car accident, and God's healing your whole body. And a woman jumped up, and she said, that's me. And she said she was in a bad car accident. She had injured her neck, her back, and she had a hernia rip and had surgery as a result of the car accident, and she just felt great, and so she testified. Well, when she went home, and this was ever since the accident, she had to have, she ripped her hernia, so she had an incision right from one side of her belly to the other. And she had stitches, and so in the morning, she had to dress her wound and put a new bandage on, and then in the evening, she had to do the same thing right before she went to bed. So now she's back from the meeting, and so she's ready to dress her wound. And when she takes off her bandage, there's absolutely no scar, there's no stitches, there's just a pink line from one side of her belly to the other. Now, this is supernatural. And so she's so excited, she calls Stacy in the middle of the night and said, I just came home, and when I was ready to dress the wound from my surgery, my hernia surgery, there was nothing there. The stitches are gone, the scar's gone, there's no sign of it, just a slight pink line. And so Stacy's so excited, she calls me up, you know, and I'm fast asleep at this time, and she wakes me up, and so she tells me, I said, praise God, glory to God. I mean, you know, the word of knowledge that someone's been healed of a car accident, and God meant it, the whole body, not just her, the manifestation of the neck injury or the back injury, but also the hernia surgery. So from Kelowna, I go into San Jose to speak in San Jose. And my friend Dick Burnell's church. And so since this testimony is so fresh, I began by sharing this testimony. I said, I just heard of one of the most amazing testimonies of healing of this woman who had this major scar from surgery, a hernia surgery, got healed, and the scar absolutely disappeared, just a pink line. Well, as I'm sharing this, there's a seven-year-old boy there, and he turns to his mom and says, Mom, do you think God could take away my scar? And let me tell you what happened. He was like 4 years old. He's running around the house. He trips. He hits his forehead on the coffee table, and he has a huge scar right down his forehead. And, you know, being self-conscious, you know, as a seven-year-old, you know, having this scar. So he turns to his mom and says, do you think God could take away my scar? And the mom freaks out because the scar is totally gone. It's absolutely disappeared. Yeah, give Jesus the glory. His faith, just from hearing the testimony, shifted something where he believed that God could take away. It was just a small mustard seed faith, but that faith released the healing. And he didn't even believe her. He said, I don't believe it. And so she had to take her cosmetic mirror out and show him, you know, right there in the meeting, the scar had gone. And so they came up to me and told me the testimony after I spoke. I've seen this happen over and over again. That's why you need to hear that rhema. You need to hear that word. And at the end of the service, I'm going to give some words of knowledge out. And just don't be a cynic and say, well, everyone, who doesn't have a back problem? Or, you know, who doesn't have a headache? And, you know, that's so generic. And this is just mind over matter. No, you got to believe. You got to take your thoughts captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Instead of just being secular and being a humanist about it, you have to be biblical. And we're talking about the Bible here. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And so, because if you move in that arena of cynicism, you're not going to receive. You know, if you just start to rationalize, you're not going to receive. But if you have childlike faith, if you're like a little child, say, yeah, like that seven-year-old boy, you know, if God could do that for her, can he do it for me? And the Lord says, yes, and I'm going to show you. So let me get some water here because I'm a little bit, just flew in last night, so I'm just trying to adjust here and get hydrated. So faith is so important because there's faith in a good father. And it's faith in his promises. And when the more I walk with the Lord, I see how good of a father he is. How much more would the Heavenly Father give good things to his children? And you know, as a father, as a grandfather, I want to so bless my children. And I'm finite. And I'm carnal. I'm not perfect. And yet I want to do that. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I want to bless my children. How much more? That's why Jesus says in Luke chapter 12, 32, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, why is that so significant? Because what's the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is his rule and reign, but it's the realm of his blessing. It's heaven on earth. And you have to ask yourself this question, is there any sickness in heaven? No. And Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew chapter 6, 9, starting in verse 9, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. So whatever is in heaven, God wants us to experience here on earth. Now this is huge because we could go on to say there's no one demonized in heaven. And so on earth as it is in heaven. And God wants you to be free from addictions. He wants you to be free from fear, other phobias, and whatever besetting sin that keeps on reoccurring in your life, anger, lust. He wants to set you free on earth as it is in heaven. This is so important. It's a kingdom theology. There's no racism in heaven. So on earth as it is in heaven. You know, when we talk about the 70th anniversary, one of the big issues right now is that, you know, as Koreans, as Chinese, and people who've been impacted by the Japanese, you know, there's never been really a true, deep repentance by the Japanese government. You know, they'll use some other euphemism, but they don't really come out and say, we were wrong, we committed atrocities, we had comfort women, we have deeply apologized. They just skirt the issue. They don't talk about it. But here's the thing. The test is on us. Because we could get bitter. We could get resentful on a macro level, you know, the Japanese government. And we end up cursing that nation instead of blessing that nation. Why is it that Japan has not received revival in less than 2%? They've been so exposed to Christianity, and yet only 2% of Japan is Christian, whereas 25% in Korea. And of course, China has experienced massive revival right now as we speak. I don't think it's just because there's Shintoism and there's a stronghold of a spiritual darkness. That's part of it. But I think it's because nations have really not blessed that country. I'm talking about, you know, Christians. And, you know, we've been resentful, you know. I mean, there's still animosity in Americans towards the Japanese for you know, bombing Pearl Harbor. And so even though we have a good business relationship with them, it's just, you know, there's a lot of racism. And so we got to deal with that. And begins with the church, because there's no racism in heaven. So on earth as it is in heaven. There's no injustice in heaven. There's no sex trafficking in heaven. So on earth as it is in heaven. So this is a reformational prayer, the Lord's Prayer. When we really receive a revelation of his prayer, it will just absolutely change your life and it will change society. But it has to do with healing because there's no sickness. So we see how Jesus went about healing all oppressed of the devil in Acts 10:38. That's not just a hyperbole. It's not just an exaggeration for communication purposes. He healed all because, again, he was bringing heaven's rule. There's no 50% healed in heaven, 50% sick in heaven. Everyone is healed. And so he came to do the Father's will, and everyone that came to him in faith got healed. That's why he spent one-third of his ministry casting out demons. So this is so important that we have faith in his nature, his character, faith in his word, as well as his prophetic revelatory word. All right. The third principle, I want to move on, is the principle of sin and holiness. You know, it says here in James 5 that the prayer of faith will heal that person. And if he has committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Confess your sins or trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Now, there's a lot going on in this passage, and we see how he begins to address, you know, he talks about pastors or elders. And by the word pastor, elders, this is the Greek word presbyteros. We get the word presbyterian from, but it's used interchangeably with the word poimen for shepherds, episcopos for bishops, is all the same. Basically, it begins by saying, call for your leaders in your house church or small group or in your church and let them pray over because they have authority. But then it goes and shifts and talks about body life, that we're to pray for one another, that all of us have authority. And I want to talk about that last. But here it says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. It's interesting how we can see how certain sins can hinder healing in one's body. I've prayed, for example, I talk about bitterness. A woman came up to me, and I'll never forget this. She had rheumatoid arthritis. Her hands were like knots, and it was so severe. And she asked for prayer. I prayed for her. Nothing happened. I soaked her in prayer. And you know, I think sometimes we just need to be more patient and not just have a quick prayer, but if you have time, just to continue to persevere in prayer for that person's healing. So that's what I did with her. But she wasn't even feeling a slight improvement. And I felt like the Lord gave me a word of knowledge that she has a root of bitterness. So I asked her the question. I said, is there anyone in your life that you're bitter towards? And she said, yes. My late husband, he died 5 years ago, but I hated him then, and I still hate him today. How many know that's major bitterness? If he's not even around, you're still bitter. And so I had to back up, and I said, you know, are you a Christian? Have you given your heart to Jesus Christ? He said, oh, yeah, I gave my life to the Lord on this day, you know, this year. And I said, well, did Jesus forgive you? And she said, yes. Well, he says, forgive as I've forgiven you. And she said, well, I can't. I feel I'll be a hypocrite because I'll just go through the motion. I said, listen, you know, you're obeying Scripture. Don't go by feeling. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. All right? Just forgive. And she said, I can't, you know. I just feel like there's no feelings behind it. It'd just be going through the motion. It would be my word. So I said, okay, let me do this. Let me lead you in a prayer. Just repeat after me. It's like the sinner's prayer. And let's just step out in faith, just obey Scripture, and allow the feelings to come after obedience. And so she said, okay. So I led her in a prayer. And when we came to the part where she says, and I forgive my late husband, because he was very abusive, and it's not to minimize the abuse, but, you know, we still have to forgive, right? And when she said, I forgive him, all of a sudden she started to weep. Because all this pent-up hatred and bitterness for years was so suppressed. And finally, when she just stepped out in obedience, all of a sudden it just released her, and she got emotionally healed. But here's the point I want to make. I didn't have to pray for her to be healed, because as she's weeping, all of a sudden she said, look, and her hands opened up like a beautiful flower just blossoming right before us. It was just amazing, and she got healed just by repenting of bitterness. Confess your sins to one another. You know, there's a lot of times where Jesus will say, your sins are forgiven first, before he prayed for the healing. Like the paralytic, he says, your sins are forgiven. And of course, the religious leaders got uptight about that, said, who can forgive sins but God? And to say, I have authority to forgive sins, I'm going to tell you, take up your mat and walk. He dealt with the root issue first, before the physical healing. That's why, for example, you know, when we take the Lord's Supper, communion, it's not just going through some ritual. This is something that's very, very spiritual. It's a sacrament. It invokes the presence of God. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to look at a passage here because it shows and illustrates a point about, you know, dealing with sin so that we could walk in health and healing. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, let's just drop to verse 27 for time's sake. It says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So before you take communion, you're to examine your heart, to see if there is any sin in your life, especially the sin of division. Because the whole context of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he begins by saying there's division in the church in Corinth. And you guys are taking the Lord's Supper flippantly. You can't take it when there's attitudes of, you know, just bitterness towards people or even dislike of people and jealousy, competition, gossip, slander, whatever is causing division, you got to deal with it. Because he goes on to say, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many have died. Now, this is a very profound statement that just the Lord's Supper, if we harbor issues of ill will towards another brother and sister in the body of Christ, and we partake of the Lord's Supper, it's like God's hand of blessing and protection is lifted off, and the enemy can come in there. Now, I believe sickness does not come from God, but Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10, verse 10. But what happens is there's a hedge of protection around us, but when you sin, all of a sudden, legally, that hedge is broken, and all of a sudden, there's an avenue for the enemy to attack. And so people, and Paul's very strong about this, is that not only have they gotten sick, but people have died prematurely. And so he says, examine yourself. You know, don't get into morbid introspection, but if there's something in your heart. And that's why we're to take communion constantly, because it's to constantly examine yourself, you know. So don't just go through the motion of taking communion. When you take communion, ask the Lord, Lord, search me and know me. See if there be any evil way within me, because the heart is deceitful. And a lot of times it's just blind spots. We just don't see it. And that's why, you know, we need to be in community with one another. We need to just be honest and humble and just walk in the light with one another and just say, hey, do you see any thing in my life. You want to speak into my life. You know, I just want, and we need to, you know, I tell you, in the church, one of the biggest problems is we put on masks and we just put a good front instead of showing our vulnerability and being real with one another. You know what the word hypocrisy is really is play acting. It's putting on a mask and acting. To illustrate this, and this is something that I think we need to do, is take off our masks. But in 2008, you know, many of you know, we went through a major recession in the United States. And the LA Zoo was running out of money. And so they were going bankrupt. And so they started to cut expenses. And one of the things they decided to do was, you know what, I'm not going to even tell you this. This is going on a rabbit trail. I want to get back to my text. But we need to walk in the light. We need to be transparent. And just walk in humility and confess our sins. It's not easy. But let me tell you one of the things that happens. One of the things that I've seen is that when you move in performance orientation, and as Asians, we were brought up in a culture of performing, getting good grades and, you know, doing all the right stuff in order to be accepted. What that does, it causes your immune system to break down. And I've seen a direct correlation of sin and your immune system. A lot of the problems that we have is because of autoimmune problems. For example, I talked about rheumatoid arthritis. What is arthritis? It's when the white cells that should attack sickness turns around and attacks your own body. And arthritis is when it attacks your joints. MS is when the white cells attack your nervous system. See? Diabetes is when the white cells attack your pancreas. And so the issue with... So let me just tell you, performance orientation causes the white cells to attack your muscles in your back. And what it does is that it causes scoliosis or curvature of the back. I see a lot of women in particular who have scoliosis is directly related to performance orientation, including my daughter. My daughter, Grace, my oldest daughter, had severe scoliosis. If you just took an x-ray and, you know, in fact, when she was growing up, the doctor was saying that she needs surgery. But it's very complicated because you have to have surgery and you have to have pins and you have to have this back brace. And we just said, no, we're not going to receive that. We're going to believe God for her healing. And by the way, she's totally healed. Her back is absolutely straight. But here's how she got healed. She began to realize that she was a dancer. I mean, she went to UC Irvine on a dancing scholarship, modern dance. She grew up dancing all her life in the church, and she loves to dance. But she put this performance orientation, because we never asked her to dance. It wasn't like you got to dance in church and put her up on the stage and try to make her dance. It was just something that was within that culture of the Asian culture. She started to gain her identity that way. And so she put so much stress on herself, it began to mess up her immune system, and she ended up having scoliosis. When she repented of that, when she acknowledged, you know what, I just released, I'm accepted in the Beloved, I'm a child of God, and I don't have to perform anyone. I'm here to just glorify God. All of a sudden, her back started to straighten out, and now she's totally healed. And so there are subtle things that may not be major sin, but let me give you one sin that I see in the body of Christ that causes autoimmune problems. It's the sin of self-hatred, when you don't like yourself. You think, you know, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not skinny enough, I'm not pretty enough. And the list goes on, you know, and you compare yourself with others. Paul says when you compare yourself with others, you're not being wise. In other words, you're being foolish. Because if you compare yourself with someone else and you're better than them, smarter than them, make more money than them, you end up moving in pride. But if you feel less than them, then you move in insecurity and you are not really walking in your identity in Christ. And your identity determines your destiny, and it's so important for you to know that you are loved, you are accepted, and you could just enter into his rest that you are a child of the Most High God. And so you need to renew your thinking. One of the major things that the devil will try to do, two things he'll distort. Number one, the nature and character of God. And that's why, you know, I constantly pound that God is a good God. He's a God of love. The second thing he'll distort is your identity in Christ. Will lie to you about that. And so this is so important because self-hatred, what you're doing is that when your white cells are, instead of finding sickness, is attacking your body, it's because you're trickling it. You are cursing yourself and just say, I hate myself, and go ahead, self-destruct. And all of a sudden, the white cells begin to cause destruction in your body. I've seen people who repented of self-hatred get healed just sovereignly. Let me give you an example. There's a pastor from Norway that came to a conference I was doing in Singapore. He was so severely diabetic that he had gone blind. He couldn't see. And when I mentioned about self-hatred leading to diabetes and autoimmune problem, he said, that's me. I hate myself. I feel I'm a failure as a pastor. I feel like I'm a failure in my family. My kids don't respect me. You know, I just want to die, but I can't commit suicide. You know, he was going through this incredible mental, the stronghold that had developed in his life. And all of a sudden, the truth set him free. And he came to the altar and repented. Because I gave it just a general invitation, because this was a Christian conference, was a pastor's conference, and he came forward and repented. He said he was instantly healed of diabetes. When he went back to the hotel to take his blood sugar test, he was shocked. It was normal. And he started to monitor, and 6 months, he finally got a hold of me, and he found my email, and he told me, he said, I've lost 80 pounds. My eyesight's been totally restored. There's no trace of diabetes in my life, and all happened because I repented of self-hatred. Confess your sins to one another. And pray for one another. Some of you have not seen your breakthrough because there may be something like that. That's not a blatant sin, you know what I mean? Because when we think of sin, it's immorality, you know, committing murder or something like that. None of us are doing that, right? But it could be the sin of bitterness. It could be sin of jealousy. It could be sin of not discerning the body correctly. It could be sin of self-hatred, self-rejection, performance orientation. And I tell you, that is a whole weekend seminar. I'm just giving you the Reader's Digest version of it. But get my book, you know, How to Pray for Healing, because I deal two chapters in my book on this subject, all right? And again, it's not because I'm an expert on this. It's just that over the years of praying for the sick, I've seen the when I dealt with root issues and pause and just ask them the simple question, do you have any issues or bitterness, unforgiveness in your heart towards anyone? And when they do repent of that, the healing happens immediately. And deliverance takes place right away. All right, so the principle of confession and holiness. The last principle is this. It's a principle of authority. He goes on to say, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. In James chapter 5, go back to James chapter 5. We'll close with this, and then we're going to pray for the sick. James chapter 5, he says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So being right with God, your prayers are going to be powerful. And then he brings Elijah into the equation, using Elijah as an example. Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. It did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Now, when I first read this as a young person, I'm saying, how could you say that my prayers are like Elijah's prayers? Elijah is considered one of the two great prophets in the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah. And by the way, those are the two that appeared to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Elijah is the one who challenged the prophets of Baal. He's the one that called down fire, and the fire consumed the sacrifice that he presented in the name of Jehovah. He's the one who commanded 450 prophets of Baal to be executed, and massive revival broke out where the whole nation of Israel, the northern kingdom, said, the Lord, he is God. He's the one who prayed that it would not rain, and God heard that prayer. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then he said to Ahab, King Ahab, at my word, it's going to rain. And he begins to pray, and the Lord begins to speak to him and said, tell Ahab it's going to rain. And there's been no rain for 3.5 years. And sure enough, you know, he begins to pray. He prays 7 times, and rain comes. And you're saying that my prayers are like Elijah's prayers, a prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. It's in the context of believers praying for one another. He's implying that in this passage. Now, here's the point I want to make. that our prayers are much more powerful than even Elijah, not because of who we are, but because of what Jesus has done on the cross for you and for me, and how he disarmed the principalities and powers. He disarmed the principality of power. So legally, he's taken the authority from Satan and has now given us the authority. That's why in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, this is really important because before, he said, the prince of the world, he has the authority, but he has nothing on me. And, you know, when he was tempted in the wilderness, Satan said, if you just worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. Now, that couldn't be a real temptation if Satan didn't have that authority. He did have authority because he took it from man in the garden, all the way in the garden when man sinned. When man had received that authority from God, he lost that authority by sinning, and Satan stole it, usurped it. But through Jesus Christ, now we have that authority. Now, I want to look at one last verse, because just to affirm that, look at Matthew chapter 11. This is important because I want you to know your authority in Christ, because when you know who you are in Christ and the authority he's given to you, it is amazing what you're going to do. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks within himself, so he is. Whatever you believe about yourself, so you'll start practicing. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, Jesus says this, surely I say to you, among those born of women, there's not one risen greater than John the Baptist. Now, this is a stunning statement in itself. He's telling Orthodox Jews and the Jewish people, the one that is the greatest in the Old Covenant is not Moses, is not Elijah, is not even Elisha, who received a double portion of Elijah's anointing, is John the Baptist. Why? Because he was the one to prepare the way of Jesus' coming. And so he is the greatest. If you want to look at all the prophets in the Old Testament, the one with the greatest authority, the greatest anointing, is John the Baptist. But read on. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. Now, I want you to look at that again, because it may just gone over. The least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. The newest born believer, again, because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. That's why Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. He says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. I've given you the keys of the kingdom in Matthew chapter 16, 19, and 20. The authority you have, why is this so important? Because in Luke chapter 9, we see how Jesus gave them power and authority. Authority is greater than power. Like, let me give you an illustration. You could have a huge Mack truck on the road, but a petite woman, police woman, can come out with her white glove and stop that powerful Mack truck on the street, and that truck has to stop. That's authority. So you see the example of power and authority, but authority is greater. Authority is the right to use the power that God's given you. And when you have authority and you use that authority in the name of Jesus as the Spirit of God leads you, you will see mountains move. Some of the greatest healings have happened because people have moved in their authority, God-given authority God's given to them. I was just last week in Nashville at the Voice of the Apostles Conference. It's arguably one of the biggest conferences in America. You know, they normally have around 10,000 people attend this conference, and it was just, I mean, thousands of people were at this conference. And it moves around. It was in Orlando last year. It was in Maryland, Baltimore before that. And so when it was in Orlando, amazing healing took place. This is around 3 years ago. A woman came to the Voice of Apostles Conference just absolutely desperate. Now, she comes from an evangelical church in Sacramento. It's a mega church, but it's a Bible-based fundamentalist church, but they don't believe in healing. But she was so desperate because what happened is that like some 10 years ago, when she gave birth to her only child, she went through such an excruciating delivery that she had nerve damage in her womb area. She had to have operation after operation but nothing fixed it. And she was in excruciating pain, and she was bedridden. She couldn't, you know, she just had to be on her back to alleviate the pain. And so they found a surgeon in Paris that specialized in her problem. So they had to fly her in a special airplane because she couldn't sit up. She couldn't go on a normal flight. They, at a tremendous expense, had to put her on this bed to take her on this special plane to fly to Paris and then to have the operation. But here's what happened in the operation. She bled to death, and she literally died on the operation table. Her body left, her spirit left her body, and for the first time, she felt just absolutely no pain and free, and she just was just in this euphoria of experiencing heaven. But when she was in that state, before she went to the presence of the Lord spoke to her and appeared, Jesus appeared to her and said, I'm giving you an option. You can go home to be with me, and you're not going to suffer anymore. Or you could go back to your body and go through this, and I'll heal you, but it won't be right away. And she knew what she had to do. She knew she had to go back to her body because her son that was born out of pain, she knew if she died and she was taken up to heaven, he would really end up getting jaded and not walking with the Lord. And she wanted to go back for salvation's sake because she said, okay, I'm going to get healed. I need to go through the necessary suffering and then go through the healing process and be a testimony to my son for his salvation. So she goes back into her body, and at that point, the doctors are resuscitating her. She survives that operation, but she has to go through 13 more operations after that. So nothing's working. So she hears about this charismatic conference taking place in Orlando where people are praying for the sick. Randy Clark and Heidi Baker and Bill Johnson's there. I'm there, you know. And so she hears about it. And so out of desperation, she goes in extreme pain because she can't fly. First time she's flown since her operation. So she takes all this medication, you know, morphine, to just go through the plane ride from Sacramento to Orlando. And she goes back there, and she is on her back at the end of the conference in the convention center, just on her back, and listening to the speakers. And people are coming to her and praying for her, but nothing's happening. Well, she's there for a number of days now, and you know, she brought a team of people that brought her to that meeting. And so it was like the day before the conference was going to end. An elderly man who was just going to the men's room, and he sees this woman on her back, and he just feels led by the Holy Spirit to come up and pray for her and said, you know, can I pray for you? Because, you know, this is a healing conference, so everyone's praying for one another. And she didn't want to tell him, said, you know, hundreds of people have prayed for me, nothing's happened. But just to be polite, she said, okay, I'll just receive your prayer. So he prays for her, and then he goes off to the men's room. As he's coming back from the men's room, he asked her, how are you feeling? And she just had to be honest and said, well, I feel the same. I don't feel any different. And so, but that's okay. Something rose up within him. He said, that is not okay. God has healed me. He has healed my wife. He's healed my son. And I believe that God wants to heal you. All of a sudden, he took authority. Now, this is a nameless, faceless guy. He's just a guy in the audience. He's not one of the speakers. He's not, you know, some healing evangelist. He's like a 80-year-old man, actually. He's a grandfather. He said, it's not okay. And he just takes authority over the sickness. And all of a sudden, he commands certain spirits to leave. He said, spirit, you know, so she's going through all of this exorcism right there. And then he says, do something you couldn't do before. He said, well, I couldn't sit up. I couldn't walk. And so he pulls her up. And, you know, so he's being really, really radical. But he was taking authority over the situation. And when she sits up and she gets on her feet, instantly, for the first time in around 15 years, she feels absolutely no pain. And she is just stunned. And she just said, I don't feel anything. He says, yeah, you know, I knew it, you know, and he walks off. And so she is just absolutely healed. And she goes home. And she tells the church, it's like a 5,000-member church, mega church that's evangelical, anti-charismatic. They don't know what to do with her because she's now walking into the office on her own to the pastor's office. First one to see was her pastor, just to tell him what God did to her at the Voice of Apostles conference. Anyway, this is now on YouTube. You can look this up. Just look up, you know, woman healed of extraordinary pain, you know, at the Voice of Apostles. And I heard it. So I was there when I heard her testimony. And then I went on YouTube to get more of the details of it because it was just extraordinary. There was so much that she shared. But the point I want to make is that this guy is just like you. He's a nameless, faceless person, but he knew his authority in Christ, and he exercised that authority. And that's why the Bible says, among those born of women, John the Baptist was the greatest. He's the hinge of history, and he's a turning point. And because the Bible says in Luke chapter 16, verse 16, the law and the prophets were preached until John the Baptist, but now the good news of the kingdom is being proclaimed to you. John finishes and closes the old covenant, and Jesus begins the inauguration of the new covenant and the message of his kingdom that's here. So he's given you that authority. You have to believe that. As a believer, God's given you authority. And when you begin to realize that, all of a sudden, you know, it's amazing how you will see miracles. And I can give you example after example of how the Lord has spoken to me to exercise my authority. And I could just give you testimonies, but I think we've talked enough. I want to start praying for you. And so here's what I want us to do. I just want us to just wait on the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to ask him to just search your heart and see if there's any issues that's hindering or blocking your healing. But even if you don't need a healing, if God is speaking something to you, I believe that he wants you to repent, which means more than just turning away from your sin. It begins with a shift of your thinking. Repentance means to change your thinking, which leads to changing and turning away from sin. I think this is really, really important because I feel that God wants to bring revival to Hong Kong big time. And I feel that Solomon's Porch is really, really critical in God's scheme, overall scheme of what he has for Hong Kong and for mainland China primarily. And I feel that this church is going to be used in the next wave because the next wave is going to be among young people. And the thing I love about Solomon's Porch, you know, and I'm, you know, old enough to be your dad, but there's some people here that's my generation, baby boomer, but for the most part, you guys are my children's generation, and God has spoke to me that it's time for my son, who's 35, by the way, my oldest, and he's going to be installed as the new senior pastor of our church, H Rock Church, in January. And the reason why I'm doing that is because I've just been sensing the season's coming to a close for me, and I'm still going to be around, but it's time for you guys to take the baton and run with it. I'm going to talk about that tomorrow. But I believe it begins with us getting holy and getting right. I feel that we have to raise the bar of holiness, another level here, in order for us to see the kind of revival that we want to see in Korea and South Korea and China and around the world. So let's just pray right now. Holy Spirit, just come, search us and try us and see if there be any evil way within us and lead us in your everlasting way. I also know in a group this size there may be some who have never made Jesus Christ the Lord of their lives. And if you're not sure you've given your heart to the Lord, or if maybe you did make a commitment at one time but you've been away from God, I don't think it's a coincidence you're in this service. I believe that God brought you here. You may have been invited by a friend. There are others who have just been sitting on the fence. And, you know, you go back and forth with Christians, you're talking the Christian language, but then when you're with your friends who don't know Jesus, you act just like them. And there's no difference. And God is saying, listen, I'm drawing a line in the sand. I want you to choose this day who you're going to serve. You need to make a total commitment. You need to come on the side of the Lord and just say, I'm going to honor you with my whole life. So here's how I'm going to pray. I'm going to lead you all in a prayer, and I want you to pray this prayer with me, but make this your prayer. And then I'm going to just pause in a place where, and Lord, I repent. And then you fill in the blank. If there's any bitterness, if there's immorality, if there's jealousy, gossip, slander, any division that you're causing, just repent of that. And he is so faithful and just to forgive you and to deliver you from all unrighteousness. But I want to you to repeat after me because I want to make sure that if anyone's here that doesn't know Jesus Christ, they can confess him as Lord. Because the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's a promise in Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. So will you pray out loud with me? Just repeat after me. Just say, Heavenly Father, forgive me for my sins. I repent. Now fill in the blank. You don't have to say it out loud or anything like that, but just say, Lord, I forgive me, Lord, for giving myself to pornography. Forgive me for some of the things I've said to hurt my family members and my friends. Forgive me, Lord, for my bad attitude in life, at work. Forgive me for not loving my spouse the way you want me to love, to lay down my life, for not being a servant, for being selfish in the marriage relationship. Whatever the Holy Spirit shows you, just repent of that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Bitterness towards your father, mother. Now continue to repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I confess my sins. I repent of my sins. Jesus, I give you my whole heart. I confess Jesus is my Lord. And from this day forward, and by your grace, I will follow you. I will obey you. I will honor you all the days of my life. Now, if you pray that prayer for the first time or making a serious rededication, or maybe you weren't sure, but you just want to say, yeah, I really am sincere. I'm declaring Jesus is my Lord. I'm going to ask you to do something that's going to take courage. Jesus said, if you accept me before men, I'll accept you before my Father in heaven. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. I'm going to count to three, and if you meant that prayer for the first time or rededication, I'm going to ask you boldly raise your hand in front of everyone else. I'm going to count to three, but I want you to do that. Why? Because by accepting him before God and before others, God says, I'm going to accept you. So are you ready to do that? Let me count to three. Boldly raise your hand. One, two, three. Go ahead and raise your hand. Just raise it up. Thank you. Just hold it up high. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Now, I want to pray for the sick, and let's just ask the Holy Spirit just how we're going to do this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yeah. What I want to do is just give some words of knowledge out. And what I want to encourage you is, as you're in your seat and hearing words of knowledge is like prophetic words. I'm going to say there's someone being healed of this ailment. If that is you, I want you to claim it. In your spirit, just say, that's for me. I receive that. And by the way, I don't mind what's going on here as long as you guys don't mind. But just claim that and just say, that's for me. There's someone here who's been having major migraine headaches. It's been almost to the point where when you have it, you feel like throwing up. That's how bad it is. It's a demonic spirit that is oppressing you, and I just command that spirit to leave you right now in Jesus' name. And I think you've been having the headache tonight. And if that is you and the headache is lifting off of you right now, if that is you, I want you to just raise your hand. I want to see who it is. Is your headache leaving you right now? Okay, who else? Who else? You've had migraine headache. I want you to come on up here. I want to just lay hands on you. Who else has had major migraine headaches and you feel something's lifting off of you right now? All right, so it may just be this. Come on up here. Come on, just stand. No, you don't have to get up. Let me just stand.
Last year, it's been much better.
Okay. So she's been vomiting because of the migraine, but it's been better.
That was last year.
That was last year. Okay. You too, you've been having migraines? Were you having it tonight?
Today.
Today? And do you believe that God's just healed you and delivered you? Okay. I just command, I want you to look at me. I just command, because the Lord spoke to me, it was His Spirit. So I want you to look at me. Jesus' name. Amen, amen. There's someone who, when I mentioned scoliosis, you're saying you could return to your seat. When you heard the word scoliosis, you said, that's me. And you've actually had pain in your back and your muscles in your back. And I want to pray for you. If that is you, you have curvature of the back, would you stand to your feet if that's you? I want to just pray for you right now. Just come on up here. And it's really interesting because it's primarily with women. And okay, just line up here. I just want to just pray. And, you know, I want you to go back to your doctor and get it tested and let Pastor Sam know the results of that, because I know in my heart God's healing you right now. Again, it's not your spine, it's your muscles that's causing the curvature to take place. And it's because of your immune system is out of whack. And so you renounce your sins. So now receive. I just speak order and peace to your immune system right now in Jesus' name. So just lay my hands on you right now. Would you come on up here so I can. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now receive your healing in Jesus' name. Receive your healing in the name of Jesus. Just receive your healing. We just command now the muscles to be at peace right now, the immune system to be normal, and the back to straighten out as a result in Jesus' name. Now, ladies, do you believe that? Do you believe? This is for you. I want you to claim it. Just thank Him right now. Just say, Lord, thank you for healing me. Just go ahead and begin to thank Him and praise Him for healing you. Thank you, Lord. Now, which one of you had pain in your back, but you don't feel any pain right now? Just move it around. Just test it. Because I felt like the Lord said there's someone that is actually feeling pain and it's just lifting off right now. You could, if you had pain in your shoulder?
I don't have pain now.
Did you have pain before tonight?
For a long time.
All the time. How long have you had this pain?
3 months.
3 months, and you had it in your neck and your chest or?
Just back pain.
And you don't have it now?
I don't have it now.
Isn't that something? It's just right there. It just lifted after 3 months. Lord, we thank you for this song. There's some others who have pain in your back from injuries, different injuries. It could be a car accident. It could be a sporting. Just test it right now, because the Lord just spoke to me as I was praying for her that someone's being healed of back pain. If that is you and it's like 70, 80% better, I want you to stand to your feet because I want to pray for the rest of that percentage to be complete. So we have one over here. Are you feeling better? Okay, come on up here. Who else? Someone else. Your back is being healed right now. If you're just tested, and if your back is feeling better, like 70%, I want to bless what God's doing. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 who are coming up. Let's give Jesus praise and glory. I want to find out what's going on with your back. Why don't you ladies come on up here? You five ladies to come up here. What was wrong with your back?
Damaged it about 2 weeks ago, and it's been in pain ever since. And even at night, I couldn't lie down without pain. So it's a lot better.
So you feel just lifting it off of you right now?
It's much easier. Yes.
Much easier. Isn't that wonderful? What about you? What was happening? What was wrong?
From this morning, I got a very serious muscle cramp here, so I cannot move my neck at all, especially to the back. But when you pray for the people, I really feel something, like something lifted up, and I really can do it.
Wonderful. So it's around 70% better. And what about you? Come on up here, because I want to lay hands. And ladies, just you come on up to the next front, because I want to lay hands on you. What was wrong with your back?
I've been having a back pain on the right hand side. It's actually on the shoulder. So I think it's getting less painful now.
It's painful. Well, what about you?
I've got like a psychiatric nerve problem, and I used to always have to rely on massage to just relieve the pain.
What side of your body? Right side, left? Just
even it caused my legs to be numb. Yeah.
just coming up here. This is amazing. Different back issues. Coming up here. Let me find out what was wrong with your back.
It was like muscle pain on the right hand side. Yeah, for about. Yeah.
Let's just pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We just thank you. The ladies with their back issues, just come on up. Step up. Just get up so I can get closer to you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Now the word says, "We shall lay our hands on the sick; they will recover." And so the word is true. You will recover. We just thank you, Lord, for the 70%, 80% improvement, but we pray for 100%. In Jesus' name, receive right now 100%. It's good. Now, are these some ministry team people coming up here to help out? Okay, great, because I do want them to just pray and soak these people a little bit more. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for 100% healing. More, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I want to go after the autoimmune problem. If you have an autoimmune problem like diabetes, arthritis, MS, lupus, things like that, I want you to stand to your feet wherever you are. If you are contending and your immune system's out of whack, because I really believe that God wants to bring order to your system. Okay, so why don't you group come on up to the front? Let me pray for you. Just come on up. And if you guys could just take a step a little bit back, and we're going to have more prayer. But those with the autoimmune problem, just come on up to the front. I feel we lay the axe to the root of this through our confession, repentance. And now I just want to just speak right now to your immune system, your white cells to function normally. It's amazing what God's doing. You know, 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I pray you prosper in all areas and be in health, even as your soul prospers." The point is this, is that as your soul prospers, which is your emotion, your mind, and your will, it will lead to health. So if your soul is not full of bitterness, if it's not full of other issues of the heart, it will lead to direct healing of your physical body. And so that's another verse. You know, I mean, it's interesting. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who forgives your sins and heals your body." It's Psalm 103, 1 through 3. So there's a direct correlation with, again, dealing with root issues in your heart that leads to physical well-being. And it makes sense. Absolutely. Even medical doctors are now saying there's something called psychoimmunology, where your emotional well-being does impact your immune system. And it's a relatively new thing. But the Bible teaches that. That's thousands of years old. And so I want you to be in faith as we have dealt with this through prayer. Now, why don't you, all those with the immune problem, just step up a little bit closer so I can pray for you without falling off the edge here. All right, great. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We just decree healthy immune system. We decree healthy immune system in the name of Jesus, from the top of the head down to the soles of their feet. We declare it, command the white cells to function normally from this day forward. In Jesus' name, we command the autoimmune sickness to leave your body, whatever the manifestation of that is, whether it be diabetes or arthritis. We declare healing and wholeness in your body in Jesus' mighty name. Now, I want you to say thank you, Lord. Begin to thank him for it. Just begin to praise him for it. Just say, "Lord, I receive. I agree in Jesus' name." Now, I'm getting a word. There's someone with either a hyperactive thyroid or hypothyroid. Is it you right here? No wonder I'm getting this word. There's three of you right in front of me. And so, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for that word that is now for you to receive your healing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There's another word. There's someone with pain in your mouth, dental problems. And you came in with you were saying to yourself, "You know, I need to see a dentist. This is really getting bad." But if you touch your mouth right now, that pain is going away. Who is that person? You had pain in your mouth. Go ahead and touch it. The pain is going. We want to bless what God's doing. Who had the dental need? Is it you also? Okay, come on up here. Father, we just thank you so much for total healing. Lord, you just love Lois so much. You're touching her in every small area as well as large area. And we bless what you're doing. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Now, I'm getting a word that God wants to heal eyes. If you're nearsighted, farsighted, cataract, glaucoma, detached retina, whatever your eye problem is, put your hand on your eyes right now and receive your healing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for healing of the eyes, sight. We're seeing amazing healings. I mean, it's just off the charts. Wherever I go, people are getting healed of eye problems, including total blindness. Now, what I want you to do is now test your eyesight. Read something you couldn't read before. Read the screen, if you could shoot some words up on the screen. Read your Bible, if you cannot read your Bible without your glasses. And just see if your eyesight is being improved right now. Now, if you see better, if there's something been shift in your eyesight, one lady could not even look at the lights because the glare was so blinding for her, but she was healed and she was able to just test it by looking up at the spotlight. If you have just received a shift, I want you to stand to your feet because I want to bless what God's doing. If there's been improvement in your eyesight, just test it right now. And stand and just say, yeah, I've received improvement in my eyesight. Okay, we have one person standing. Anyone else? You weren't standing for that? Okay, if your eyesight is improved, just stand to your feet. Even if there's a small measure, we want to bless what God's doing. All right, I want you to come on up. I'm going to get down here because it's getting a little bit too crowded. Come on up to the front. Let me pray for you. And so what was wrong with your eyes?
I have a lazy eye here.
Lazy eye.
Yeah. And a cataract removal. And this one has, the doctor say there's a slight cataract and a glaucoma.
So a number of things. But how do you know something's better? What has improved?
I took off my spectacle to... I came here to really pray for sight.
So you came anticipating God healing your eyes. Thank you, Lord. What about you? What's happening with your eyes?
It's being more clear.
You can see more clear. Just reading. Who else? Is it you? What's happening with your eyes?
I didn't come for my eyes. It's just getting old and need reading glasses. And I tested it after the prayer, and I could read really small words.
You couldn't do that before?
I think not.
Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. What's happening with your eyes?
Infection.
Flash?
Infection.
Oh.
Ongoing. On the left side.
Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to just close your eyes. I'm just going to lay your hands. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm receiving you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we bless what you're doing with my dear sister. Thank you for your help. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Now, you know, the scripture says we walk by faith, not by sight. So I want you to thank him for healing you. And get it tested. Get it verified and see how much it's improved, okay? From this point on. Spirit of God's all over you, you know? I just feel like he just really is honoring your faith. The Spirit is just all over her. Just bless what God's doing. What I want to do is... I want to just pray for a few more people, and then the rest of you, if you need prayer, I'm going to be around. The pastors are going to be around, and we'll pray for you. But I know we prayed for this earlier, but I want to pray for this in particular because I injured my lower back in Germany in March, and it was so extremely painful. And I had to go from Germany, minister the whole week in Germany, then I had to go to Cairo, Egypt, and minister there with his back. You know, thank God he healed me, but it was after like 2 weeks of contending. And I was feeling, the Lord said, I want you to go after people's backs because you have compassion for that because you went through that. If you have a lower back problem, I want you to stand to your feet wherever you are. And I want you to come on up here and let me pray for you, okay? I want to just lay my hands on your lower back. Thank you, Father. So lay your hands on the sick. They will recover. In Jesus' name, just receive that. You receive that? Thank you, Father. Just move around, see if it's improved right now. Command the pain to leave your lower back right now in Jesus' name. I rebuke this pain in the lower. Who else? Come on up here. Anyone else? Let's see. Command the pain to leave your lower back in Jesus' name. You believe that? Just receive that in Jesus' name. Command the pain to leave your lower back right now in Jesus' name. One last thing is, there's a right knee being healed, and it may have been a surgery you had, it may be a sporting accident, but you've been in pain off and on, but I felt like the Lord says it's a right knee. Who has that? And if that's you, just stand to your feet, and I want you to come on over here. Let me pray for you. Right knee, just line up here, and I will just lay hands on your knee and pray for you. Come on right up here. Just line up. Thank you, Lord. And again, for those who have to go, you know, God bless you. Hope to see you tomorrow. I want to speak on revival and reformation, beginning with the family. Family, God wants to do amazing things through the family to shift society. So we'll see you at, is it 9:30 tomorrow? 9 o'clock. I'm giving myself half an hour more time. 9 o'clock and then 11:30 and at 3 o'clock. And if you need more prayer, though, I'll be up here. The pastors will be up here. But I'm going to hand this over to Sam and just...
Well, we're going to continue to pray and just worship the Lord. I want to just encourage you a little bit. You know, Pastor Shane and I were talking today, and we're talking about Francis McNutt. And he was a very famous man used by God in healing. And one of the things that he, you know, as a doctor, he had done all these studies. And he found that the most significant way that people got healed was what he called soaking prayer. And it was just... like Pastor Chase said, just getting in the presence of God and just allowing the Holy Spirit to just take over whatever situations are happening. We have a prayer team that's here. Our pastors are here. And we just really, the whole night is just really about blessing the body. And so if you want to receive prayer, you can come. Just come up to the front. And Pastor Chase will be here for a little bit as well. And we're just going to have some people and just minister to you and just pray for you. And so we just want to just really encourage you and invite you to do that. Whatever ailment or illness may be, we're just asking the presence of God to move over us. Okay, and so you just can make your way to the front and we'll minister to you. So Pastor Ricky, your well team, can I ask them to come forward as well at this time and just really minister to some of our people. And so when you come up, just let the person who's praying for you, just let them know what's going on with your body or whatnot. And then we'll just spend some time praying for you, okay? And like I said, I know that in our culture, everyone wants to get prayed for by Pastor Che. We understand that, and he's here for a limited time, but there's a lot of other people here that also God uses very well, okay? And so, Pastor Nate, why don't you lead us? And if you have to go, I know it's a little late, it's 10 o'clock, and you are blessed and dismissed to go. Tomorrow, 9 o'clock, 11:30, and 3 o'clock, you're more than welcome and invited if you're a visitor to our services as well, right? So bless you. Enjoy your time. And if you want to get prayer, yeah, just come and we'll minister to you.